welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police. It's me, Mike Graham. It's him, Kevin O'Sullivan. Luckily, doing it on time this week.
But yeah, I had to be early.
Squeeze it in between all sorts of engagements. There's a bit of noise as well coming from those fuckwits who are still building.
Yeah, well, that's a given.
They're building. They've been doing it now. I think the pyramids
will
go quicker.
What the fuck are they building?
I don't know.
Like the biggest building ever made.
Yeah.
Fuck's
there's
sake.
Nothing there.
Yes.
They're just digging
it's
into the
ground.
Instead
of pile of fucking bricks. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely right.
So listen, I've got this story about you.
Yeah,
so
go on. About me.
I was coming into work.
I hope it's clean.
Well, yeah, no, it is. It's quite funny. I was coming into work on Sunday, Sunday afternoon, on the tube.
Mm.
And I was writing my script. Right, on my laptop.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a guy sitting next to me. Turns out to be Australian. Mm. And he goes, what are you doing, mate? Writing a speech? I go, no.
Fucking good to do you.
It's a sort of script. Script? What's that for, then? I go, you know, I wanted to go, will you fucking shut up? I'm busy.
Alone.
But
yeah.
I said, oh, you know, a TV radio presenter. Said, oh, yeah? Yeah? Okay, yeah. Which channel are you on? I thought, oh, this is where it all goes to shit.
Yeah.
So I go, oh, Talk TV. I talk to, what, Piers Morgan? No, I go, yeah, that's right. He goes, oh, yeah. That's where that fucking great big bloke, the Cockney. So I go, no, I'm not sure I know who you mean. Yeah, the Cockney guy. And I go, I just couldn't for the life of me think of it. I said,
it wasn't James Max.
Well, no, and I said, you don't mean Mike Graham, do you? Because that's fucking Cockney.
I've never described it as Cockney.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Graham, the pearly king of Talk TV.
Maybe it's the new promo we can do. You know, Cockney. Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, well, very good. I keep forgetting to do this. I forgot it last week, and I've got it at home. In the midst of my trip to America last week, we all sort of ended up going through all these old pictures. I found an old picture of you.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is from Tim and Wendy's anniversary party in the south of France.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you look quite young. Because it must have been, what, 2004-ish or something? 2005?
Yeah, 20
years
ago.
When we all tipped up down in fucking the south of France. I remember meeting you and having lunch with you and Henrietta.
Yeah.
In that restaurant near the hotel where we had the big row. Remember we had the big row with the guy?
That's right. Because they didn't have any booze or something.
Well, no, they wouldn't send the car. For some reason, there was a problem getting a fucking taxi back to the hotel.
That's it.
And I'm ringing him up going, can you send us a car because we can't get any local taxis? No. I said, what do you mean no? I said, there's about 10 of us staying at your fucking hotel. Least you could do is fucking organise a taxi to get us fucking home. And he slammed the phone down. We eventually managed to get back. Got back. Everything was shut down. I said, are you going to open the fucking bar? And we ended up having a big row about Agincourt. And I'm going to remember fucking Agincourt, mate, you fucking, you know.
And then he fucked off, and I remember you and...
We just fucking drank the bar dry.
Broke in.
Yeah, we broke the fucking bar.
To nick the booze anyway. Yeah, well, no wonder we all looked a bit younger. It was about 20
fucking years. It was a long time ago. But it doesn't seem like it, though.
Doesn't, does it?
That's the problem.
Where does the time go?
Meanwhile, back at ITV Towers, you know, the plot
thickens. The psychodrama.
The plot thickens. Best show they've ever done, in my view.
It is the best thing on TV.
It's got more twists and turns than Coronation Street ever had. It now turns out that Philip Schofield enjoyed Thursday afternoon fun times. Or what did he call
it? It was
Thursday playtime.
Playtime, Thursday
with,
night.
With his good friend, who still hasn't been named yet.
Well, I used to go to my club quite a lot, the Ivy Club.
Yeah.
So I used to see him.
That's the place I got kicked out of. He wasn't there that night.
But I used to see Philip there quite a lot.
Well, there's pictures of him coming out of the Ivy. I presume that was the restaurant.
No, that was the club.
Was it
that
the
was
club?
The club. That's the club, yeah.
So he's been there with him?
Yeah. Oh, no, lots of times. Yeah, I've seen him there with
him.
The thing about this whole drama is, you know, Philip Schofield was it last Friday. You know, this is amazing mea culpa.
Yeah.
You know,
I've lied to everyone.
My colleagues. I've lied to my friends.
Lawyer.
I've lied to my bosses, my lawyer, everyone I ever met. I'm a fucking great fucking liar. And I'm sure you too. I was stunned by the epic scale of that confession.
Yeah.
He didn't have to say, I lied to him. Lie. So I think.
Do you think he's agreed all this?
No,
with
no, yeah, exactly. I think that the people at ITV have got something on him.
Right.
So they basically said to him, you carry the can,
right,
or we'll drop you right
in the
shit.
And the only way for him to get them off the hook as well is to say he lied to them, so they can go, well, we asked him, and, yeah, he, well, and he told us a lie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is exactly what everyone's
but
saying.
But it's not a very rigorous way of
investigating. It's a load of bollocks. Yeah. It's a load of bollocks. That's right. The funny thing about this situation. Mm. Everyone at ITV, not everyone, but most people at ITV...
Most senior people
in order
know.
To get out of this situation created by Philip Schofield's lies... are lying.
Yeah.
They're all lying.
Right.
You know, this guy, this relationship went on for 3 fucking years right. in the office.
Well, there's pictures of them together in 2018, isn't there?
Yeah, and there's also pictures of them when This Morning won the National Television right. Award. He's on the fucking stage, right. a couple of people down from Philip Schofield.
Right.
So everybody at This Morning, everybody at ITV...
And he was constantly by his side.
Yeah,
so what
yeah.
else would you think?
Everybody at... Well, it's more than that. Everybody in showbiz journalism knew.
Yeah.
I mean, as I was saying to JJ...
But for people who ask these questions, because there'll be people listening to this who go, all right, so why didn't you fucking write it then? The reason why, presumably, is because ITV continued to deny it, and so therefore you were opening yourself up to a lawsuit if you wrote something, you know, that was untrue.
Stories were written about his friendship. Yeah. His friendship. But yeah, legally, if... You know, you can't tell what people are doing intimately.
No.
And if they choose to lie to you about a relationship,
there's
nothing you can do about it.
But it's important for you to explain that to people, because I think people assume that you're part of the fucking cover-up.
Yeah, all right. Here's why I didn't write the Philip Schofield story. Because Philip Schofield's fucking boring. He's a boring little man. That's one of the things. But it's a great...
There is also something to be said as well, because there was a time, for example, when the Sun outed George Michael for being gay.
Yeah.
Outing people for being gay is not a thing anymore, and you wouldn't do it because it would be frowned upon. So you wouldn't do it for that reason. And the other reason you wouldn't do it is if you can't prove something like that and they decide to sue you, even if you're right, you can still lose money.
Yeah. I mean, at certain points, you might have done that story and said, right, fucking sue if you
might have done.
If you dare, but
right.
they won't. The point is, though, what is extraordinary about this situation now is those people in the ivory... tower of ITV HQ. They really don't get it.
No.
This is all caused by lies. It's caused by Philip Schofield lying about his relationship.
Yeah.
It's caused by Holly and Phil lying about their friendship and selling the public a lie. Lies.
Yeah.
And how do these fucking wankers think they're going to get out of this situation? I know. Let's all lie.
Right.
Fucking idiots.
Also,
and it's going to come crashing down on their fucking heads.
Also, imagine advising the world's greatest liar by his own admission to tell everybody with his latest statement yesterday, actually, it's the greatest place to work ever and everybody's really happy. And did you see the start of the show on Tuesday?
Yeah.
I think it was. No, Monday, sorry.
Yeah.
But they had Giles Brandreth, who I don't know very well.
So happy! Happy!
And so, I love coming here.
We love working
on this
show.
It's such a nice place to work. It's really, really lovely. Everybody's so nice. I'm going, sorry.
Yeah, look,
you know, it's obviously not very nice.
That's This Morning was a toxic place to work a long, long time before Philip Schofield.
I mean, I even heard stories.
But
sure
a long time before he hooked up with that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always been a toxic place.
But the stories we used to hear as well were about the rows that would go on between Good Morning Britain, GMB, and This Morning.
Well, it was...
They wouldn't have the same guests. Yeah. They wouldn't help each other out. It was like a fucking battle every day.
But the main reason that This Morning was always toxic is because Philip Schofield, for mysterious reasons, completely ruled the roost there.
Yeah.
He decided who would be guests.
Yeah.
He decided who would be on the show. He decided the show's content.
Right.
And he was so fucking powerful at ITV, he used to decide who would host other shows.
Yeah.
You know, who would be, is Stephen Mulhern right for this show? Anton Deck, should they be on at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock? He was making all these fucking decisions. No one quite knows why.
No.
But he became so powerful... And as Eamon Holmes eloquently put it the other night on TV, he came to seriously abuse that power.
Yeah.
And it was all this sort of coercive stuff. You know, people at This Morning, I know a lot of people who work there, people at This Morning, they would live or die on whether or not Philip smiled at them and said hello in the morning. Because
right.
that's the way cunts like him operate.
Yeah.
They'll smile at you one day and the next day they'll cut you dead.
Right.
So he liked to keep the staff on tenterhooks, on edge. You know, nervous.
Yeah.
So it's been a toxic place way beyond this boyfriend turning up. Then the boyfriend turned up, and then the castle was increasingly built on lies, and the castle is collapsing on lies.
It is collapsing. I mean, what I find astonishing is they're still doing the show. because it's a fucking joke. Why would you bother? Yeah. Just fucking kill it.
Yeah, fucking literally just kill it. Dermot and Alison as well. Just say we love working on this. We love that. Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Oh, let's have a look. Fuck off.
Let's have a look at the papers.
Yeah. Oh,
no, not that bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's have a look at the other stories.
We understand we're in the news.
Yeah. Yeah, really?
Yeah,
really?
I'll tell you what, Dermot, next time you're in the fucking news, it will be when they axe this morning and you're out of a fucking job.
Right.
Hope you enjoy that copy.
Well, people have already started telling me that Holly Willoughby's picture has started to disappear from various Marks and Spencer's, where she's got like a clothing line. The clothing line's still for sale,
yeah.
But her picture, big poster type pictures are starting to disappear.
Well, I'm not surprised, and I would imagine that before too long, her picture at ITV Centre in London will go the way of Philip Schofield's picture, and that is, it'll be taken
Don't
down.
Don't you think they'll she try and save her arse?
She ain't gonna last.
In some other capacity.
Oh, no, no, no. She's got a golden television career ahead of her. There's no doubt about that. I mean...
But this is why they're all shitting themselves, aren't they, about how they handle it?
She fucking knew. She, you know, the idea that she had no idea that Schofield was having an affair with that kid. I say kid. He's about 25.
Yeah, he's not that
he's an adult. And that's why... Why aren't we naming him, by the way?
Yeah, why?
Let's well, do
although,
it.
Although Dr. Range, funnily enough, put out a tweet today, if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw it,
And he named his first name. I don't know whether he meant to or whether he just did it by accident.
Yeah.
But so the first name is out there now, and I know that you can find
it. Well, you can... His second, but name, I know his second name is all over.
Yeah, I know, but we don't need to do it here.
No, we don't. We don't need to, but
there will be a time.
Why are we not doing this?
The lawyer's view is that at the moment his privacy supersedes the public interest. But that's at
bullshit.
The moment.
Bullshit.
That's at the moment.
That's absolute bullshit.
But that's at the moment. That's what they're saying.
They're just, what it is, it's safety in numbers. They're all scared. Cautious. We should name this guy. We should name him.
Well, because I don't want to be the person to do that.
I'll fucking do it. He's a fucking adult.
Don't do it on my fucking podcast.
He's an adult. He's in a consensual...
Well, why do you fucking name him on your
he's
show?
He's in a consensual adult relationship.
Yeah, I get all that.
Why are we not naming him?
Well, there might be a reason as well that we don't know.
No, it's not. Just,
all
it's,
right.
It's because everyone's scared, but they will name him fairly soon. I'd suggest Sunday. Probably.
Well, I believe there might also be some form of legal letter going around out there, because what he will want to do, this guy, will be to maximise the amount of money he can get. And at the moment, the less that's known about him, the better for him, because he tells the whole story for a load of money.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that's going to be very soon.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, it's not just the executives and the colleagues and Holly are on this morning. It's the directors of the company. They all fucking knew. Now, Holly has got a golden career ahead of her, no doubt about it. Yes.
At ITV?
Somewhere else. Oh, yeah, no, they'll use her.
I think they'll do a new show for her.
Yeah, there'll be all sorts of shows they'll do for her. Because BBC want her as well.
Yeah.
So she's fine. But this morning
she'd be good on Strictly.
I don't think she can continue. She won't. She's a bit above that.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do you mean above Strictly? Why?
Well, contestant on Strictly means your career.
No, I mean hosting it.
Oh, well.
I don't mean being on it, fucking as a contestant. I mean hosting it. She'd be good hosting it.
Well, I think they're quite happy with who they've got. But yeah, you're right. She would be.
If
you
wanted to give it a bit of
that's
a thing,
the sort of show she'll do.
That's what I mean.
And also. ITV will keep her on Dancing on Ice.
Yeah.
Which incredibly...
Dancing on Thin Ice.
Incredibly, she was still going to do that with Philip Schofield, which for the
He was still going to do the Soap Awards until he admitted to being a massive liar.
But fucking Holly and Phil doing the Dancing on Ice for the first time in the history of that show would have made it worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely right.
But for Frosty Atmosphere and all that. So she's got... she'll be fine. But I don't think she can go back onto the This Morning sofa.
No.
And I think by extension...
I think they should set fire to that.
By extension, they should axe This Morning.
Yeah, they should.
I mean, they're clinging onto the Titanic by their fingers.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I mean, I presume they've lost even more fucking viewers since last week. So last week they lost 200,000.
It's horrible.
I mean, how many did they get?
They lost 180,000 one day. I think by the end of the week they lost the best part of 500,000.
Really?
They were hemorrhaging viewers last week. And if you watch it this week, I watched about 10 minutes yesterday. It's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it must be.
Very, very uncomfortable.
Well, because
the viewers sense it.
Because they can't pretend anymore that it's this lovely, happy, fucking valley type place where all you do is talk
about
wellness and, you know, mental health and everything that's good and kind. And we're all so nice to each other that we can't wait to get to work and then go on holiday together.
Yeah,
Fuck off.
Ali Ross said they've only got two topics on this morning: beachwear and bowel cancer.
That's about it. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah. But that's at the bottom of all of this, at the heart of all of this scandal. The reason the program's dying on its arse.
It's never been shit at what it does
but the viewers are looking at it and they're going, these cunts, particularly Philip and Holly, for all these years have been telling us a lie.
Yeah.
They've been saying they're best friends.
Yeah.
They love each other. So every day we're supposed to tune in and watch hypocritical frauds pretending to be something that they're not.
Right.
People don't want to do that. That's why that show's fucked.
And you've always said, I quoted you the other day, you know, the beginning of the end was the fucking queue jumping because people don't like people to queue jump. David Beckham did it right.
Yeah.
I mean, he fucking stood there for 12 hours or something and paid his respects. That's good brand fucking management. Very good. Right, they did exactly the opposite and got fucked.
Do you remember that? And do you know why you're so right about that? At the time, Beckham was in a world of shit.
Yeah, he was.
Because he's just done a deal with Qatar. Right, and you know,
suddenly he was a human hero again.
He stood in that queue, suddenly he's front page, nice news again. And there's a story in the papers today saying that Philip Schofield argued against this, sent him a bollocks. This is just fucking Schofield.
This is Schofield pretending spin.
That he did not send that email. I will guarantee.
Of course he didn't. Of course he fucking didn't. This is the other thing that you realise, that these characters spend their entire lives spinning stories about themselves to get in the paper.
That we are. I mean, the
idea that he came out as gay when this story first started to emerge, in order to sort of turn the narrative into somebody who could be a sympathetic character. And all the huggy, I mean, for all of Eamon Holmes's devastating kind of truth about Schofield, there is still that one video clip, which Eamon won't like me saying, where he's hugging him and calling him brave and saying it's amazing, you know, good luck to you.
To be fair to Eamon, though, his story is that they were basically told 30 minutes before, Philip's going to come out to you. And that's basically it. He said he didn't really know anything else. So to be fair, I think Eamon was trying to react like a decent guy. But this whole business...
Yeah, but knowing him as he did,
the question,
why did he do that? He didn't have to fucking hug him, did
he? Well, you know, Philip Schofield, again, you know, the worst-kept secret in showbiz. Philip Schofield is gay. Ooh, knock me down with a feather. What a shocker. Whoever knew that?
In other news, he's also a massive cunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Which everybody also knew.
So the question the question has to be asked, what was it now, 2 years ago? Mm. Why did he come out? Why he's always been gay.
Right.
Why did he come out 2 years ago?
It was no surprise.
Why did he leave it 19 years?
Because he was being, for a reason to have to do it, and that was it. And that was the beginning of the end.
We sort of know the reason he came out. Put it this way, folks.
No, that's what I'm saying. When the story started to get written, that was when he came out. Wasn't it?
Kind of. Yeah, well, yeah. Sort of. I mean, the thing is that what must be stressed is this image that was projected of a very brave man who decided to tell the truth about himself, to come out, could no longer carry. There was no bravery, there was no courage about it. There really wasn't.
Mm. No, fascinating.
He did.
But it is a fascinating tale, and I think a lot of people are pissed off because they're going, why do you keep talking about it? Because it's a massive story. It's not just about him. Now it's about ITV, it's about woke culture, it's about all the fucking money that ITV have got and how they influence people. Because let's not forget, some of the shit they did during COVID, which a lot of people listening to this podcast will understand, a lot of it was pure fucking propaganda, right? They were the kings of it. Do you remember the fucking scene where they're hugging each other with the plastic? You know, fuck off, guys. What are you doing?
Dr. Hillary COVID.
Dr. Hillary was a COVID maniac. I mean, why the fuck would you take any of that seriously and then say, oh, sorry, we're shutting down the show? Most people, I think, that are on listening to this today will be very fucking happy that it's gone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were disgraceful in a lot of ways.
In any case, it's always nice to see rich and successful people knocked off their fucking pedestal.
It is. Speaking of which, let's talk about Boris Johnson.
Ah!
Because Not that he's rich, because he keeps spending more money than he can make. No matter how much money he makes, he seems to fucking spend it faster.
He's got 400 kids.
Well, and he's about to have another one, by the way.
Fucking always popping out kids. What's wrong with him?
Well, I think
he should get a new hobby.
There's a type of man, I think, who is kind of obsessed with his own virility. And I think he's
like that rock star thing.
I think his dad's a bit like that.
Yeah.
Where they want to be able to prove they can still do it.
Yeah.
You know, look at me. I'm maybe nearly 60, and I'm still pumping out children.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I mean, I've got four. I don't really want any more, thanks very much indeed. And it's not really a sign of fucking virility, it's a sign of fucking idiocy. You know, because you're going to be fucking 90 when they're still going to university.
And what was the word in Westminster when it was announced that Carrie Johnson's having another baby?
I don't know.
Who's the father?
Very good.
There are all sorts of questions to be asked.
Well,
there.
Maybe this is why he doesn't want anybody looking at his WhatsApp messages, because obviously the COVID inquiry has asked for them. And as you were telling me, the COVID inquiry is run by a woman who was appointed by Boris Johnson.
Yeah. When he was
now,
Prime Minister.
But he's now refusing to cooperate.
If you want a metaphor for the madness of this country, how Britain has become a kind of forum for outright fucking craziness. Listen to this story. I mean, basically, as you just said, Mike, he appoints this woman to be, you know, Baroness Fuckwit or whatever it is, some great and the good person with the title. Who are these people?
I know.
Where do they get
There's
them
an awful
from?
Lot of them as well.
Who's called Baroness Cunt or whatever. Anyway, Baroness Fuckwit gets appointed to lead the pointless COVID inquiry. It will take 20 years to finish.
Right.
No one will care when they finish it.
Right.
She says, right, well, we need all your WhatsApp messages. Boris Johnson, along with the cabinet office, go, well, that's a bit much. You can't do that. Right. You know, you can't have all my WhatsApp messages. They've got a sort of point. She said, well, I'm going to need them all to check what we need. So, Boris Johnson, Boris Johnson is refusing to hand over his WhatsApp messages. So there was a deadline, which has now been extended.
Mm.
If he goes beyond the deadline, he literally becomes the suspect in a criminal investigation.
And he could face some kind of charge.
Yeah,
right?
So he could become the subject of a police investigation because he's charged with breaking the law by not providing the WhatsApp messages.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Cabinet Office, acting on behalf of all the other Cabinet ministers, say that, no, you can't have all of our WhatsApp messages.
Right.
Baroness Fuckwit said, well, we fucking well need them.
Right.
So now the government is set to sue its own COVID inquiry.
With our money, by the way.
Legal action.
With our fucking money. Because guess what? We'll be paying for the lawyers on both sides of that.
So we're already paying for Boris.
It's double bubble for us.
But I mean, think about that. The government is going to sue its own. It's launching action against its own inquiry.
Isabel Oakeshott has said this before, that the cache of fucking WhatsApp messages that she got from Matt Hancock was so huge.
Yeah.
They had a team of people.
2,300,000 words, she said.
Yeah, I think it was, I think it might be more than that. But I mean, just ridiculous and ludicrous amounts of messages that you need a team of people to go through. If they get every single fucking cabinet minister's messages, there'll be so many of them, they literally won't be able to fucking get through them.
Yeah.
It'll take them years.
Also, we need to know the parameters.
And you need to have proper journalists doing it, not fucking civil servants.
But did you hear what Isabel said about the WhatsApp messages, even before he handed them over? Hancock and other ministers, particularly soon, they redacted loads of them, put black.
Well, Lord Bethell managed to lose all of his.
Yeah.
And he claimed that it was because he transferred them to a new phone.
Yeah.
And actually, somebody since has said that can happen. If you transfer it to a new phone, you can lose all of your WhatsApp messages. But it's rather convenient that Lord Bethell, who was in the Department of Health with Matt Hancock, suddenly doesn't have any.
Yeah, well, I hear that he's not the only one that lost enormous amounts of WhatsApp messages. I reckon right now at Westminster, in the light of the COVID inquiry, lots of MPs are losing
them.
They're losing.
Delete. Well, they'll take Lord Bethel's advice
bullshit.
And go and change, get their phone renewed, and then lose them all.
Those fucking cunts at Westminster. Did you see this story? The fucking four MPs that claimed speeding fines on their expenses.
Yeah.
Do you remember the expenses scandal? 2009.
But then, at least one of them, that guy Bim, who's quite often in our shows, he said, as soon as I discovered it, I paid the money back. Well, how did you make it a fucking inadvertent expenses claim?
By the way, he did it twice.
I've never made an inadvertent expenses claim in my life.
He did it twice. It's exactly what I said last night on the talk. I said, Westminster MPs, British politicians, MPs, are the only people in the world who claim to put expenses claims in accidentally.
Yes.
I did that by accident.
I didn't mean to.
We've done expenses all our life. You know, I could talk...
Sadly, we don't get them anymore.
I could, we could talk about the nature of our expenses if you like, but what I have never done is put them in accidentally.
No.
Liars.
I have had situations once where I've had calls from managing editors to say, you can't really put this in.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, well, okay, which bit don't you like? And I used to have to find that... I used to go out for dinner with a guy in Scotland who's dead now, unfortunately, lawyer, lovely guy, very rich, very successful. And he used to buy me dinner and give me the bill, you know. But yeah. I used to say to him, look, I can't put this in because it's too expensive. It's literally too much. You'd have to give me a bill that doesn't have the wine on it or something because I can't fucking put it through. Because he would be buying bottles of wine. We once went to the Mandarin Oriental in New York when he was there.
Never cheap.
He was buying bottles of wine that cost $500.
Yeah.
He's like, do you want this receipt? I'm like, I can't put it in. They won't pass it at the mirror, you know. $1,000 fucking dollars for wine.
You know that famous story about James Cameron?
Camel.
It
was a camel, wasn't it?
When they covered the Ethiopian war,
yeah.
And he came back, he was out there for about 3 months,
yeah.
And he put in his expenses to cover the Ethiopian war.
Yeah.
And then put like, I don't know, whatever it was in, $2,000, $5,000.
Right.
The editor calls him in and says, James, you can't just say, I want $2,000. You have to annotate. You have to say what exactly you spent the money in. Mm. So take those expenses back, annotate them, and tell me what you want the money for. So about a week later, the editor got James Cameron's amended expenses, which said, taxi to King's Cross Station for £4. To cover Ethiopian war, $5,360. Taxi back from King's Cross Station, £4.
Yeah.
And he got the expenses.
Well, the story I'd heard about that was the camel story, which is slightly different, where he put in for the camel, in addition to when they started to
break
it
down. I think he was an expenses artist.
Yeah, and he put in for the price of a camel, which was however much it was, £1,500. And the managing editor, thinking he would pull a fast one on him, said, oh yeah, you bought a camel, did you? He went, yeah, had to buy a camel, you know, to fucking get around. You can't get around with fucking anything else. He went, oh yeah, where's the camel now then? So he went away and he revamped his expenses and then put in another $1,000 for funeral of camel.
He's the one who was sent to Venice on a story, wasn't he? He must have been a great guy to know. He arrived in Venice and sent his editor a telegram, only way to contact them. Streets full of water, please advise.
Because the great thing about guys like him, they had complete and utter disdain for the management.
Ooh.
You know, unfortunately...
But something in newspapers hasn't changed.
Yeah, except... I get the sense that it has changed, because the people that you meet now from newspapers are much more kind of malleable. They'll sort of do what they're told, whereas when you and I were fucking roaming around the world, we never did what we were told. We were always... I remember flying off down to fucking Marbella to follow the Home Alone woman. You know, the woman who had... left both of her kids in fucking Turnham Green or something, aged 6 and 8, and fucked off down the south of Spain to fuck some sheikh or other.
Yeah.
And we were all dancing about. We finally found her, and she was flying home, getting flown home by the sun, and all the other hacks that were there went home with them. And I got instructed by my then news editor, who was the Milky Bar Kid, remember him? Ian McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, oh, I hope you're getting on the plane. I said, no, I'm not going to. I said, I'm going to stay down here. I think we need to do a bit more research on where she's been, who she's been with. And basically, I just wanted a few more days in Port of Venice, you know. And he went, I really think she got on the plane. I went, well, I'm not getting on the fucking plane. Why don't you send somebody to Brussels to pick her up when she gets to Brussels? I've told you what plane she's on. I'm staying here. Goodbye. Click.
Yeah.
And in those days, you'd get away with that shit.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could now. Because first of all, they wouldn't send you to fucking Barbados.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you that story when I was sent to Barbados by the sun.
Yeah.
That was in the days where you could get Concorde there or you could get a jumbo jet. Anyway, we went there by fucking Concorde. There's only like one plane a day.
Right.
So there's all a holiday maker. So we did the story. Well, I think I might have failed at the story. I was chasing Johnny Briggs around.
Oh, yeah.
That bloke, that actor.
Yeah.
Who played, Ken Baldwin, wasn't it? In Coronation Street.
In Coronation Street.
Yeah, he'd run off with some bird.
Right.
So we never found him. He'd left by the time we got there, really. Anyway, so we had about 5 days getting nowhere. So the news editor, Tom Petrie, said, all right, mate, fly yourself back. So... yeah, I got the got on the transport department, said, get us back from Barbados as soon as you can. Don't hurry too much, you know. And they came back and said, we can't get you on a flight for 2.5 weeks. So I go, well, so I phone up Tom and he goes, fucking hell. And so I said to him, look, Tom, you know, you can't, I can't fucking be here 2.5 fucking weeks. I said, the Concorde goes every day.
Right.
Why don't you put us on Concorde? Fucking Concorde? You're a fucking Concorde? Oh, you'd love that, wouldn't you? And all this shit.
Right.
And, you know, so I said, yeah, I know it's expensive, but it won't be as expensive.
Yeah, 2.5 weeks
as being a photographer. 2.5 weeks.
Couldn't they get you off the island to sort of Jamaica or something?
And you know what happened? 2.5 fucking weeks later, I climb onto a jumbo jet to get home. And fucking idiots, and it had cost them a fortune.
That must have been nice little layover.
Well, it sort of was, and the photographer I was with was a good guy. But nothing against him. In the end, we were going off on our own, not to spend the day with each other.
Yeah, I mean, that is the problem, isn't it? I mean, I once spent about 6 weeks in Dallas. My only job was to ring this guy every morning.
Oh, yeah, you told
me. To see if he was going to fucking talk. And that was it. And so the rest of the time, I was just fucking drinking and shagging.
You could have done that from New York.
Yeah, I know. But they were hoping that if he said yes one day, I'd just be able to pop round. You know, never happened. Anyway, we're nearly at the end. Should we say suitable choices of
Broadway? Yeah, podcast? Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson, suitablechoices.co.uk for all your mortgage needs. They're down in Margate. They're good guys. If you need any help, get in touch with them. So suitablechoices.co.uk. Anything else you want to say?
No, just that we'll do a Patreon next week. Yeah.
We will definitely do a Patreon next week. Pooch is on the missing list again.
Pooch is having another well-deserved day off.
Another well-deserved holiday.
Can you remember what he looks like?
No. I think he's in the witness protection program after one of those incidents. I think he's in hiding.
Gone into fucking hiding. Exactly. Anyway, fuck you all.
All right, see you later. Fuck off. Cunt.